Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last week talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. And we're taking this teaching from a live Gospel Truth seminar that I did in Phoenix, Arizona over the New Year's weekend. And I tell you, this subject is timely for every person watching this. It doesn't matter what country you're watching this in. Our world is going from bad to worse. Jesus prophesied this, and we can see it happening right in front of our eyes. And I think that this teaching is really timely for every single person. A scripture that I've quoted often during this first week is Matthew 24:12, where Jesus said that during the last times, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so this is something that is prophesied. It's the natural thing to do. And it is happening to people just because of a lack of understanding the situation. It's this same old proverb, you know, that we heard about taking a frog and putting it in a pan of water, and if the water is just boiling hot, the frog will jump out. But if you put a frog in a cool pan of water and then turn the heat up gradually, it'll stay in there and literally cook to death because it happened gradually. And this is happening to people gradually because they don't have the perspective. You know, if you could just take your grandparents or something and somehow or another, or so let's say great-grandparents or someone that lives, say, back in the early 1900s, and if you could just, through a time machine or something, transport them into the world that we live in today and see the values of people, how they've degraded, how that politics is gone, about the way that the world is going, and you could take politics, you could take morality, you could take our schools, you could take any area, all areas of our society. And if you could take these people that lived over 100 years ago and transport them into our day and age, the contrast would be so radical that it would overwhelm them and they would recognize how bad things are. But because many of us have grown up in this, and even if you are an older person, because it comes gradually, sometimes it sneaks up on us. And so anyway, I've been trying to bring to the forefront and show that this is not tolerable the way that things are, and it's going to make our hearts grow cold. And so that's what we've been talking about. I've defined basically why this situation is there. And then today, I want to start showing you how God has given you the authority and the power to keep your heart sensitive to God regardless of what's happening in the world. Now, that's a major statement, and it's putting responsibility on us that a lot of people tend to refuse, but I believe that it's accurate. And so this is what we're getting to. We're going to go back into this teaching from Phoenix, Arizona, a live Gospel Truth seminar, and I'll come back at the end of today's program. Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. People today would say, oh, but you're just naturally, you're just normal. This is just the way it has to be. No, it doesn't. You are not only human. You have been born again. You have the supernatural Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And one of the very first things, if you are going to be strong and of a good courage, is to recognize that God has given you the power and the ability to live more than just human. You aren't just human. You have the supernatural power of God living on the inside of you. And I believe that victory in this area starts by you recognizing that, praise God, I am not going to just be human. You shouldn't be reading. Again, I hate to say some of these things because somebody's going to misunderstand what I'm saying. But you shouldn't just be reading secular books about how to deal with your marriage and your finances, and because they're only dealing with things from a human standpoint. They're only telling you the natural things. And yes, we are natural, but we aren't only natural, we are supernatural. There is a part of you that is supernatural that no human being who's not born again has access to that power. And sad to say, a lot of Christians are turning on the television and reading the magazines and reading the books of people that don't even know God, and they're learning how to cope with life's problems and hurts and pains in a human, natural way. And it is true that, yes, we do have hurts and pains and things, but I am not only human. And it's a shame, I believe, for Christians to approach life and all of the things that it throws at us with only human ability. You need to recognize God has given you supernatural ability. God is not unreasonable when he told his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. They were about to see him crucified, and he says, don't be troubled by it. Most of us would think, well, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Look at this. Keep your finger because I'm coming back. And in chapter 16, verse 1, this is the same discourse. It was just a matter of minutes after he had said what was recorded in John 14, 1. In John chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. If you go back to the parable of the sower sowing the seed in Mark chapter 4, it talks about one of the things that happened to the second type of person, the second type of ground that the seed was sown in. It says afflictions and persecutions came and they were offended and the word didn't work. When you get offended, I could spend more time developing this, but this is exactly the same thing I was talking about last night out of Joshua chapter 1 where it says, don't be dismayed. This doesn't mean that you quit believing. Like, let's just talk the area of healing. If something happens and you don't see your faith work, you don't have to disbelieve and quit saying, well, I don't believe it's God's will to heal anymore. Just lose your enthusiasm. Lose your confidence. Lose your momentum about healing. And you have been dismayed. You are offended. And when you get offended, Satan steals away the word that's been sown in your heart. You have to not only maintain just intellectual knowledge, but you have to have a heartfelt belief that it is God's will to heal and stand against all of the opposition and the things that come your way. And so Jesus said, I've spoken these words to you so that you wouldn't be offended, so that Satan wouldn't steal the word from you. And I believe, now this, I hadn't got time to verify this, but I really believe that if these disciples would have paid attention to what Jesus told them, they could have gone through that period in between when Jesus was arrested, when he was crucified, and then the 3 days until he was resurrected. They could have gone through that period of time rejoicing instead of being defeated, instead of being fearful, instead of grieving. And again, most people would think, well, that's unreasonable. It's normal. It's natural to grieve. Well, yeah, it is natural, but I'm saying I'm not only natural. I'm supernatural. Jesus had prophesied 14 different times to his disciples. He says, they will take me and they will crucify me, but I will rise again. If they would have taken the word that God had given them, they could have been positive through this negative situation. And I'm saying this over and over because I know that there's lots of people here saying, no, you can't do that. You can do that. You can be positive. You can stand in the face of all of the negative things that are going on in this world, and you can be positive, or God wouldn't have told us to do it. So one of the very first things you've got to do is recognize that you aren't only human. You know, there's a man that I listen to often, and I've told Jamie this on a number of occasions. I said, you know, what he is saying makes impeccable logic. It's true if all you do is think about us as being mere human beings. He's telling you how to cope and how to deal with things and how to get through it. But the thing that I disagree with is he doesn't understand that in the spirit realm, we are now new creatures and we have supernatural ability and we don't have to deal with things in only a natural realm. You know, an example here is that we're in an area, I mean, in a period of time when they're saying it's a recession. I question whether it's as bad as what people say, but let's just not debate that at the moment. Let's just say that we're in a recession. But how do you deal with it? Well, conventional wisdom is hold back, start hoarding, cut back. Start operating in fear. Make plans for less. Do without. And yet I believe it's just the opposite. I believe that, man, when things get hard, over in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis,
Isaac went out and planted his seed in a year of famine and got a hundredfold return. He went against conventional logic. If you've got a famine, if there's a drought going on, why would you put good money in the ground and plant it when it's not going to grow? It's because he had a word. The Lord spoke unto him and said, don't go down into Egypt. Don't go down to where the water is plentiful and everything is working. Stay in this land and plant in this land. And because he had a word from God, he acted on that word and he received a hundredfold return on his seed that he planted in that year of famine. And plus, everybody else hadn't planted because what was the use? Conventional wisdom said, don't do anything. And so nobody else had any crops. He not only had a hundredfold return, but he had no competition. He had a monopoly on the market. He was able to sell his crops and get top dollar for it. And because of it, he became so prosperous that that same year, Abimelech came to him and said, depart, leave, you're mightier than our whole nation. You know why that happened? Because somebody approached the situation and realized they weren't only human. That they had a covenant with God, that God had said he would bless them in whatever they did. And because he stood on that, he got supernatural, superhuman results. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you aren't only human. You don't have to just cope with the situation the way that unbelievers cope with it. You don't have to sit here and just have depression and discouragement. You don't have to sit there and say, well, I got a chemical imbalance and what can I do about it? Release the raising from the dead power that's on the inside of you. Start speaking the word of God and break free from all of these limitations. Man, we ought to start living a supernatural life. If you aren't supernatural, you're superficial. And yet most people today, well, you're making somebody feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to encourage you that you've got supernatural power on the inside of you. But if you are going to reject that and say, no, I'm only human. I'm going to only deal with this from a human standpoint. And I'm going to grieve and I'm going to have sorrow and grief. And I'm going to deal with my sickness. And how dare you condemn me? I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But you are, in a sense, condemning yourself when you reject the fact that God has placed this life-giving power on the inside of you. Brothers and sisters, God made us to be world overcomers. Amen. Jesus is telling his disciples, during the darkest time, not only in their life, but in the history of the world, don't be troubled. Don't be bothered by this. Psychiatrists would just stick their fingers in their ears and run out the door screaming if something like this happened today. How dare you do this? And yet this is our Lord and Savior Jesus telling his disciples, don't be troubled. I'm about to be crucified. Don't let it trouble you. Amen. Man, I think that's awesome. God wouldn't have commanded us to be that way if we couldn't do it. We are living way below our privileges. We're approaching situations. You know, I have people come to me all of the time and they basically are just pathetic. And I'm not meaning this to criticize people, but they come and they're just pathetic. They're just crying and, oh, well, my situation is so bad. And they may not use these words, but what they're basically saying is, it's just hopeless. It's helpless. Could you please help me? Did you know that's a sorry attitude? Well, it's what the doctor said. The doctor says, I'm going to die. They've given up hope. There's no more any surgery. There's no more medication. There's nothing that they can do. It's just helpless. Again, that's only from a human standpoint. There is nothing helpless with the Lord. He said that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, which is more than enough for your headache, cold, arthritis, pain, sickness, whatever it is. The power that's on the inside of you is infinitely greater than your need. And when a person comes just saying, well, there's nothing I can do. You know what? I'm not going to agree with them because they've got a wrong attitude. I'm going to tell them, first of all, you need to recognize that you can do something. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I talked to a woman in Dallas just last month, or now is back in November. And she came and she was telling me her problem. And I was giving her the scripture, James 4:7. submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And she said, oh, I did that and it didn't work. I said, the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And she said, oh, I did it and it doesn't work. She says, but maybe if you'll pray, it'll work. I said, look, why would I pray and agree with you? You are telling me that the Word of God doesn't work. I'm not going to agree with you. And I wouldn't pray for this woman. And see, there's a lot of people that think, well, that's harsh. No, it's just truth. She's saying that the Word didn't work for her. And yet she wants me to pray for her. Well, I'm not going to pray with a person like that. You got to at least get into a place to recognize it. Praise God. Maybe I haven't seen it work yet, but I know that I've got this power on the inside of me. And you need to approach things from a standpoint of I'm the winner and not the loser. I am not going to approach this as if I have no power. You need to get that book on the authority of the believer. Because I guarantee you, God has put you, has given you power and authority. Now, let me just put a little parenthesis here, and this is probably the biggest mistake I see made in this area, is people who get strong in their authority and believe this, they go out and try and get somebody else to receive based on their faith. And that doesn't work. Even Jesus couldn't heal many people in Mark chapter 6 because of their unbelief. And Jesus was operating in power and authority perfectly. You can't assume responsibility for another person. And that's where a lot of people make mistakes. They go out and they stand and then somebody dies or something happens and they get confused. And it's not because their faith failed. It's because you didn't take into account the other person. So anyway, I'm not going to preach on that. But I am saying you need to recognize that God has given you power and authority. And you need to approach your situation as, praise God, I may not have seen it work yet, but I know I've got this power on the inside of me somewhere. Jesus commanded you to be strong and of a good courage in the midst of a negative situation. And so that's what I'm saying to you. When it comes about being positive in the midst of a negative world, the very first thing you've got to realize is that I've got the power to do this. I can do it. God has placed this power on the inside of me, or He wouldn't have given me a command to do this. And so you just got to stand up sometimes and just go to resisting things even when you don't feel like it. The last part of this verse, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know how you let not your heart be troubled? Through faith. Again, this is really simple. I know people look to me and they think, I thought you were going to say something profound. This is profound. It's really simple. You have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand what I'm saying. It's really simple, but it is profound and it is contrary to what most people think today. Faith is the antidote for this negativism that's in this world. And I can turn it around this way. And again, I'm not saying any of these things to condemn anybody. I'm saying it to enlighten you and to help you, to encourage you. But sometimes, you know, it just rubs you the wrong way at first. But if you aren't encouraged, if your heart is troubled, it's not because of the circumstances you've been through. It's because you aren't in faith. Faith will keep you encouraged.
So I hope that you see through today's teaching that I've been saying God has given us the authority to control our heart. And whether or not we are overcome by the negativism of this world or whether we can keep our heart stayed upon the Lord. I really think that this is important that you accept this responsibility. And let me just point out once again that this is completely contrary to the way that the world is telling us we can do things. They're saying that all we are is an evolved animal. They emphasize that we're no different than a dog or a cat and we're just a hunk of chemicals. And if this negative thing happens that you can't help but be overcome by it. I am taking the attitude from the Word of God that we are made in the image of God, that we have an ability, a God-given ability on the inside. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love. Some of you may feel like this is condemning, but I'm saying it to help you that you can control your emotions. You can keep your heart stayed upon God. You can be positive in the midst of a negative world. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God is greater than whatever is coming against you. I believe that with all of my heart. And again, I'm acknowledging that the world says, no, you can't do this. You aren't like this. That's because they are looking at things from only a humanistic standpoint. They're looking at you as just a mere human being. But you were made in the image of God. And when you get born again, when you come into direct relationship with God, you have God's power on the inside of you. And I'm telling you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Philippians 4:13. You can keep your heart from being troubled. You can be positive in the midst of a negative world. And I know that many of you are listening to me, and every time I say that, your heart is saying, no, I've tried and it can't work. I'm telling you, God would have been unjust to give you a command to not let your heart be troubled, to rejoice in the midst of persecution if you couldn't do it. You can do it. And that's what I've been trying to share on today's broadcast. Let me just point out once again that these teachings are available on CD and also on DVD. And I really believe that it would benefit you tremendously if you got the entire teaching and put it all in its proper perspective. Plus, you would be able to go back over it and listen to it over and over again. Also, this is a great way to share these truths with somebody else. And so I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this teaching. I believe that this is God speaking to you and trying to get you to take your authority and stay positive, even though we live in a negative world. So listen to our announcer and then join me again as we continue this teaching on the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the How to Stay Positive in a Negative World series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you contact us today. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. Our helpline is closed today to allow our employees to celebrate the holiday. But you can always reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The truths that I'm sharing here on television are actually teachings that I've taken from our Gospel Truth seminars. And you know, they are just a powerful way to come and sit, and in 3 days' time, you get five services, you get just saturated in this. So I'd like to encourage you to come and join us. We have a tremendous time where I minister, of course, the Word of God. We pray for people, see a lot of miracles happen. We have tremendous praise and worship by Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, as well as my wife. You come and you can get all of our materials there. It's just a great, great time, and I know that you'd be blessed. And we're going to have one close to you, so come join us across the country at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening. Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.
This guy called Andrew Womack began talking one day, and I was so impressed with his clarity, the way he would look at the Word of God as it really is, and also how he would make that relevant to us. And that's what I'm always after when I listen to any ministry, to what extent it's faithful to the Word. But I realize that I'm often not faithful to the Word. I make assumptions about things. And I found a man in Andrew Womack who never makes assumptions. He looks at what it says, he reckons that's the voice of God, and he tells us what God is saying.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if what we're preaching and giving people faith for is come to Jesus so your sins will be forgiven and you won't go to hell, well, then that's what they've got faith for. That's where they're living, and they have done it so that they can avoid hell. But they don't have as a goal intimate, close, personal relationship with Jesus.
He said on this particular tape, he said, look at John 3:16 as you've never looked at it before. It's the first time I've ever seen it. And he read it to us. And he said, for years, the church has tended to emphasize that the purpose of God sending his Son was that we should not perish. And though that's wonderfully true, and I shall not go to hell because of what Jesus did, the point, he said, is everlasting life. The purpose of our salvation is we should have everlasting life. I found there are 60 references in John's Gospel alone to life. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free at last from the law of sin and death. And I'm so grateful to dear Andrew Womack for pointing that out. I'd read it, of course I had, thousands of times. I'd never seen it. But he was used of God to show me what God is really saying instead of what I thought he was saying, which is wonderful, just wonderful.